Good day to you, Terra Nova Church, and to any and all who may have found our online service here by some random, or perhaps not so random, digital algorithm. Welcome. For the next 40 minutes or so, our hope is no different than it would be in one of our regular gatherings, that Jesus would be revealed, understood, and heard throughout every piece of this service. Right from this welcome, straight on through to the benediction, that we would know Christ more. We live in a flawed and a broken and an imperfect world, and I don't know that anybody, especially now, would disagree with that fact. All manner of pain and suffering and fear is in front of our eyes daily. All manner of questions as to why, and all manner of attempts to answer that question. But the church exists because the answer to that question has been the same for 2,000 years. Mankind is separated from God because of sin. But the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God for any and all who believe. We'll begin today's service with "It Is Well With My Soul." And whether you've heard this song 1,000 times or if you're hearing it for the very first time, let the beautiful and blunt truth of this poetry resonate and draw you and draw your heart to Christ today. Amen.
Good morning, Terra Nova. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 28 through 29, and chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. And when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came before him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering terribly." And he said to them, "I will come heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." This ends the reading for this morning. May the Lord bless it to you.
Hey there. We're so glad that you joined us for this weekend service. Whether you're a regular part of Terra Nova Church in Troy, or maybe you heard about us, or someone sent you this link, we've been apart for a while, but we're able to come together and be united as we sing and as we hear God's word preached through these videos. We hope that you're blessed. We hope that the Lord just encourages you. We know it's been a while, and we don't know quite when we're going to be able to get together. We hope these videos are just a real blessing to you as we continue to walk this journey apart but together by faith. Well, I'm Bill Cuthbertson. I'm the pastor of discipleship and outreach at Terra Nova Church in Troy. It's my privilege to bring this week's sermon. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew. If you've been with us for a while, you know that last few months. And I'm going to continue on that today as we look at the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, when you mention Jesus, the people have all sorts of reactions to the subject of Jesus. Depending on where you are, with what group of people you're with, the responses may vary, from affection to indifference, from appreciation to hostility. But for those of us who experience the transforming grace of God in our lives, our response is personal. We've met the Lord in our journey. We believe the promises of the Word of God, and we appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. Do you know Jesus like that? Have you encountered him on your journey? Have you responded to the things that he has taught us? Truths that shine God's light into the deepest areas of our hearts. Well, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8 to look at two very different people who had encounters with Jesus and to think about how they responded to the Lord. And if you've been here for the last few months, then you know we just finished working through the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord really questioned many of the religious assumptions of that day and what it means to be God's people. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, verse by verse, Jesus called on those folks in the crowd to check their hearts. Jesus challenged those who were listening to rethink their beliefs about what does and doesn't matter to God. And that really brings us here to Matthew chapter 8. After all the important foundational teaching that the Lord shared on that mountainside, he meets with a couple of guys that no one that day would have thought had any business bothering him. But that was God's plan. Jesus would have us see the faith of these two outsiders to show us what kind of people are ready for the kingdom of God. I'm going to pause now and open us in prayer. And if you're there with family or your roommates or just even by yourself, I encourage you just to pause this video and pray right now to help for the Lord's help to hear the message that he has for you. So go ahead and do that. Father, I thank you so much that we can be a part of what you are doing through your church, even though your church is not able to gather together. Lord, we thank you that we are learning lessons from your word. Lord, we are gathering in our tribes, our small groups. We are continuing to check in with one another over the phone or in texts or messages, Lord. Lord, we are grateful for these lessons of faith as we learn to be the body of Christ, even though we're not able to be physically together. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we can open up the Bible, Lord, and we can hear from you. Father, as we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, we pray you would use this passage here in Matthew chapter 8 to help us understand what it looks like to have a heart that's ready for the kingdom of heaven. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the Sermon on the Mount was a message to insiders, to those who had knowledge of the Bible and lived the way that respectable religious people were supposed to live. Jesus was speaking on the hillside to those who were probably pretty comfortable and confident in themselves as the good people that they were. But I think the Lord's teaching that day left many of them feeling a little bit uncomfortable and maybe unsure. In fact, Jesus went so far as to say in chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" Wow, that's pretty intense. So we hear that. How many of us can have any confidence on our own before the Lord when we read that very powerful statement right there? But that really was the point of the Sermon on the Mount. None of us can come to God with some claim to his righteousness. Which brings us to these two guys. They had not been on the mountainside with Jesus that day. They didn't hear the Sermon on the Mount. These are not guys that would have been welcome there. Both of them were outsiders, unworthy to be a part of these discussions about the God of heaven above. And yet they were the first people that Jesus met after coming down from the mountain. And if you've been paying attention to the Sermon on the Mount, then this really makes sense. Remember what Jesus had been trying to get them to understand. No one can enter into the kingdom of heaven on her own merits. None of us can lean on our own righteousness or our reputations to somehow impress God. You know, and this can be difficult for us to hear when we think we're doing pretty well on our own and we have our stuff together. So to help us understand these kingdom truths, the Lord met with two guys that obviously had nothing in and of themselves to impress God. And again, that was the point. Jesus had been teaching that the kingdom of heaven is for those who would acknowledge his or her spiritual need before God and then respond with humble faith. And that's where we are in chapter 8. Jesus met with a leper, a guy who was cursed by a skin disease that left him unclean and alienated from his friends and family. And then he met with a Roman centurion, an officer in the army that had conquered God's people and now occupied their land. Certainly, both of these guys were unclean and unworthy in the eyes of God, and they should not have been bothering Jesus. But Jesus reached out to these two guys because they were ready to hear the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. They were outsiders, and they knew it. Yet both of them, in their time of need, were ready to respond to the Lord with humble faith so that they could experience his healing grace. Well, before we dig into the story, I just want to lay out our roadmap for today as far as what we're going to go through in this brief passage. First of all, we want to look at what we can learn from outsiders. What can we learn from outsiders? I think there's lessons about faith from these two guys, two outsiders. And then we're going to look at how Jesus responds to outsiders. I think that's very significant. How does he respond to them? Because I think that says a lot. Outsiders help us really to see ourselves like Jesus sees us. And then lastly, we're going to look at why we should welcome outsiders. Because when we know who we are, we want to share God's love. Let's take a look at this first area. What can we learn from outsiders? Well, if the Sermon on the Mount was meant to get us to rethink who we really are before God and to get us to check our motives and make sure we're honest with ourselves about the condition of our heart, then the Lord's two brief encounters in Matthew chapter 8 show us what it looks like when we're ready to respond to the Lord by faith. Let's take a look at the man with leprosy, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Again, the first person that Jesus meets when he comes down from the Sermon on the Mount is a man with leprosy. Probably the one guy that everybody could agree had no place in the kingdom of God. Obviously, this guy had a skin disease. He was probably very difficult to look at. He was unclean. His life was a mess. What hope was there for a person with leprosy? This guy was the ultimate outsider. Even if you go into the Bible, the Old Testament, the Levitical laws actually declare a person unclean who has leprosy. They're unclean both physically and spiritually. They need to stay away from the rest of the people until they're able to get healing for that, overcome that infection. And what we know about leprosy, it's a contagious disease. It eats the skin and tissue, and sometimes people do get over it, but mostly it ends up being the condition that shortens your life, mangles your appearance. It is contagious. So for really millennia, when a person had this skin disease, he or she would be sent away. So we know this is a pretty serious thing. He was declared unclean. He was not allowed to participate in worship at the temple. He couldn't gather with his local synagogue. In fact, his family and friends could not meet with them. He could not meet with him for fear of infection and social stigma. I mean, this guy faced rejection and alienation every day. But when the leper saw the Lord coming down from the mountain, he went to Jesus and knelt before him. And I think that does say something about his faith. As lepers were not supposed to walk up to anyone. He was taking some risks here. Lepers needed to stay back at a safe distance. But this guy was desperate. Every day he suffered more and more. What else could he do? So he throws himself at Jesus' feet. The fact that a man with leprosy knelt down to beg, that's not really newsworthy. That's what lepers did. They begged to survive. There was not a social welfare system like we have today, nothing even close. They begged just to get by. But his humility here in coming and kneeling before Jesus, it's an important contrast to many of the people who had been listening to Jesus that afternoon. People who had their life together. So that's the reality. When your life is going pretty good, when you got your stuff together, you don't beg. Probably the folks that were listening to Jesus on that mountainside, they were doing okay. They didn't need that kind of help. But you know, that's the kind of self-assurance and pride that often keeps us from humbly trusting the Lord. In contrast, we see this guy, a broken man with humble faith. In verse 2, he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He believed that the Lord would have compassion on him and heal him. With no place else to turn, the man with leprosy went to Jesus and called out for help. You know, maybe you can relate to that somehow. Not the leprosy part. I mean, certainly this message seems to fit to some degree to the situation. Here's a guy that he was keeping social distance long before that was even a thing. But maybe you've been there in your life where you've just felt hopeless. Things are messed up and you just don't know what to do. Maybe you're at that place right now where the circumstances in your life are overwhelming. You feel like you're lost. I think there's a tremendous amount of encouragement in this man's encounter with Jesus. His story reminds us that Jesus is there in the midst of our suffering. We may feel like we have no place to turn, but he is our hope. Remember that as you think about this encounter. Well, let's look at this, the Lord's encounter with the centurion in verses 5 through 10. Well, Jesus meets with another outsider whose presence also made people feel uncomfortable, not because of a mangled appearance or risk of infection, but because of what this man represented. He was a military officer in the occupying army of Rome. Again, not a guy who would have been on that mountainside to hear Jesus, because everyone knew that a Roman soldier had no place in the kingdom of heaven. But then we see this guy's heart. In verse 6, he shares his need. He says, "Lord, my servant lies paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." Now, we don't know much about this situation, but the centurion went out of his way to plead with Jesus to save the life of someone that worked for him. I got to think the centurion was a decent guy. He cared about his employees. You know, another detail worth highlighting is that the centurion calls Jesus Lord. You know, Roman officers didn't call anyone Lord outside their chain of command. Certainly not some young rabbi who wanders the countryside preaching. This guy was somebody important. But I think the centurion was different. We don't know what he knew about Jesus or if the Lord's teachings had impacted him somehow. Maybe he'd heard from other people what the Lord was teaching. But I imagine that the officer had gone to Jesus that day mainly because he had exhausted all other options and he was desperate for help. His servant, his friend, was going to die. But we get more insight into the condition of the centurion's heart when Jesus offered to go to his house. Now this guy, his response is interesting. He says, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. I'm not worthy. You shouldn't come to my house." Now, I don't think this was just some polite social custom. This Roman officer recognized the social risks that Jesus would be taking to go into his house. I mean, it was real. An upstanding, good Jewish person, especially someone who aspired to be a teacher like Jesus, they shouldn't be going to the homes of an unclean Roman, particularly not a Roman soldier. So you see in this guy's request that he was not demanding, though he could have been. He was not entitled. The way that we often can be when we think too highly of ourselves. Well, that's not what we see in this guy right here. Instead, he says, "Only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man of authority with soldiers under me." Again, we see a humble faith. He believed that Jesus had the authority to heal. He didn't need to come and be present there. He could just say the word. That's faith. He truly believed that Jesus had the authority and the power to heal his friend. And that's one of the important lessons for us in this story. Faith is believing in God even when you don't have it all figured out, and in trusting in him. Again, we don't know how much the centurion knew about Jesus, but we know that he believed Jesus would help him. By faith, this guy responded to what he knew, that Jesus was kind and compassionate and would show grace to his dying friend. The story of the centurion reminds us that faith is not having it all figured out. It's not having all the theological or intellectual issues resolved ahead of time. You don't need to be a Bible expert before you can believe and try to solve all the issues that you may have. Faith is recognizing that Jesus is the Savior that you need. Faith is humbly putting your trust in the Lord. It's about believing that he will guide you through the Word of God to the answers that you seek. Well, through the stories of these two outsiders, we can see what it looks like when a person's heart is ready for the kingdom of God. And we can see in the Lord's response to both these hurting people that he came to rescue all of us, as we are all outsiders in need of God's grace. Let's take a look at how Jesus responds to outsiders. Well, you can't miss the Lord's compassion in his story of healing the leper. People would walk to the other side of the road if a person with leprosy was approaching, but not Jesus. He stopped and welcomed him. When the leper begged the Lord to help him, Jesus reached out his hand and touch the man. Why did he do that? Jesus didn't need to touch him. He could have spoken a healing word, but the Lord chose to reach out and put his hand on him. Jesus reached out to this man to remind him that he mattered to God. The Lord was able to see past his appearance that just might have been really difficult to look at. He was able to see past his backstory and all the struggles that he'd been through. This guy was contagious and he was unclean. You know, Jesus knew that touching a leper put you at risk to get this awful disease, and it left you unclean and unable to interact with others. But Jesus reached out to this guy because he came to absorb our uncleanness. The time would come when he would willingly give his life for us on the cross to cleanse us, to heal us, and to make us whole again. The Lord reached out to this man in his disease and his suffering because that was his purpose in the incarnation. The Lord, in the holiness of heaven, did not remain at a safe distance from us. The eternal Son of God became flesh and dwelled among us. "I am willing," is what Jesus said to him. This is why the Lord came to earth, because he was willing to reach down to us in our sin and uncleanness. On Good Friday, he bore our sin so that we could be made clean and our hearts could be made whole. On Easter, he overcame death so that we could have life in him. Well, we see the same kind of compassion in the Lord's interaction with a centurion. If touching a leper that day was not scandalous enough, Jesus was willing to go out of his way to help a Roman officer, which again was not something that a respectable teacher of God's word would have done. The Romans were despised, and entering the house of any Gentile would make a person unclean for a day. If Jesus had any kind of legitimacy, certainly there's no way he would have done that. Yet he was willing to go. Well, this man had come to the Lord desperate for help, and the Lord said, "I will go and I will heal him. I will heal your friend." I think there's another important lesson for us in the Lord's offer to go into this man's house and to heal his servant. The grace of God is much bigger than politics. Yeah, think about it. The centurion had the wrong politics for that day. He was part of the Roman Empire that had conquered God's people. And in another generation, they would destroy Jerusalem and raise the temple to the ground. But Jesus saw beyond all that to a person who needed God's grace and was willing to humbly trust in him. Don't let politics get in the way of the gospel. You know, most of us have opinions about issues, and sometimes it can get intense and divide us. But Jesus is bigger than that. He reached down to us when we were all on the wrong side of the kingdom of God. The Lord's encounter with these two guys reminds us that the gospel of Jesus is for outsiders. Outsiders like you and me. I hope that's the main idea that you take away with you today, that Jesus reached down to us as outsiders to the kingdom of heaven. He reached down to us so that we can respond to him humbly by faith and then follow his example to love outsiders like God loves us. We need to welcome outsiders just like Jesus welcomes us. The Lord desires his people to live out a humble faith as outsiders loved by God so that we can care about those that God loves. These stories remind us that when you know who you are, then you're able to know the depths of grace that's been shown to you. When you know who you are, you know how much grace you've received. And when you know who you are, you are able to have compassion on those who need God's grace as much as you do. Why should we welcome outsiders? Because when we do that, we can experience God's love. Terra Nova Troy, let's be people who remember who we are as we humbly trust in Jesus to get through the challenges that are ahead. Let's be a church family that welcomes outsiders into our lives, whether that's when we are able to gather again in Troy on Sundays, or when we meet with others in our homes during the week, whether that's in our tribes, our small groups, or whether that's just our gatherings in our neighborhoods. We want to be a people who don't lose sight of who we were outside the kingdom of heaven and remember the grace that God has given us so we can show that to others who need to be brought into the family of God. We want to be a church that serves those in the community who might be different from us, might look different, have different ideas, different beliefs, maybe different politics. People that are sometimes easy to forget. Let's welcome them because we know the love that the Lord had for us when we were outsiders.
Come boldly to the throne of grace, we wretched sinners come and lay your load at Jesus' feet and plead what he has done. How can I come, some soul may say, I'm lame and cannot walk. My guilt and sin have stopped my mouth, I sigh but dare not talk. Come boldly boldly to the throne of grace, the Lord will.
Good morning, Tara. This is Scott and Megan LaMountain here with a few announcements. We help serve at Tara over Tara Kids Ministry. We're happy to be with you. So as always, there are multiple ways to give at Tara. That's online, text to give, and also through regular old snail mail. And that information can be found in the link below the video. There are ongoing opportunities to serve during this time. Two opportunities that are kind of ongoing. One is food delivery for Salvation Army, and then deliveries, similar deliveries for Boys and Girls Club, both their Troy and Albany locations. And those are non-contact service opportunities, right? So they can kind of be done at a safe distance. And it's a way to really help organizations that we've built relationships with and that always need the help. So if you are interested in either of those opportunities, please consider reaching out to Pastor Bill, bill@turnoverchurch.org. If you've watched or been connected with us at all, you know, for the last few weeks, our pastors have been working very hard to make sure that there's content throughout the week to make sure everybody is, you know, connected and informed of what's going on both inside and outside the church. Pastor Ed had mentioned we want to make sure that people know that we want them involved to help populate some of this content. So if you have devotionals, encouragements, worship songs, funny videos, anything like that, if you're interested or you have ideas, please reach out to Pastor Ed, ed@terranovachurch.org. And as always, just if you want to know anything more about what we've discussed here, any of the announcements, you can click show more underneath the video and learn more about who we are and what we do. So we will leave you with a benediction today. I'll hand it over to my wife.
Today's benediction comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Have a good week, Tara.